Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's podcast episode. I'm Corey Holcomb, the communications manager here at Family Futures. Today, I'm joined by my friend, colleague, coworker, Lindsay Hubbard, who is a family support navigator. Lindsay, thank you for being here today.
You're very welcome.
So for those people who might not know, what is your role here as a family support navigator? What do you do on the day-to-day?
Yeah, so our role as family support navigators is really just to support the family in any way that we can. One of the main ways that we do this is that families who are enrolled in our Connections program are sent developmental screening tools called Ages and Stages questionnaires or ASQs to fill out throughout their kiddo's childhood. And these screening tools measure different areas of development like motor skills, communication, problem solving, personal social skills, as well as social emotional behavior. My role in that process is that when an ASQ comes in, if there are any lower scores, which would just indicate a need for more practice in that area, or if the parent was to mention any questions or concerns as they're filling it out, I would just reach out to address those questions or concerns and then provide any activities, resources, or support that I can for any area of development that might be needed. The other thing that we do as navigators is that we provide navigation services to families. So this looks like if the family has any needs for like food, clothing, housing, holiday help, utility assistance, really anything, we make referrals to different community organizations just to try and help get those needs met.
And I think it's good to indicate as well that families who may need access to resources, like you mentioned, even if they are not part of the Connections family program here at the organization, they can still call us, they can still email us, and we can still help people get connected to those resources, even if it's just a one-off situation.
Yes, absolutely. All of the navigators will take those calls and just connect with the family and provide whatever we can to help.
Yeah, very good. Thank you for explaining that. That is great. With Thanksgiving coming up, a lot of get-togethers, a lot of fun family functions, and one thing that we are constantly asked about, and I know as navigators are asked about, is how do I help my child who's a picky eater? And thinking about the holidays and get-togethers, there's going to be a lot of different foods on the table. I think about my own experience with my son and the journey of discovering food and whatnot. It can be challenging sometimes. And I know that you have some experience and you know some things, and I'd love to have your insight on how you can help kids overcome picky eating.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that it's important to understand kind of where picky eating comes from. So picky eating, a lot of times, is the kiddo expressing a need for control. So what I mean by that is that kids don't have control over a lot in their life. So one thing that they can control is what they eat or what they won't eat. If they're desperate or if they're searching for an area of their life to control, they could make that area food and start to get really picky over things that they will or will not eat.
Have you ever noticed, for lack of a better word, is like a peer pressure situation with other kids? I mean, I think about my child, and for so long he was ready to eat anything we gave him. But I think once he got around in like a pre-K or even kindergarten, he saw friends who were picky and selective on what they ate and started to pull back. Is that a big thing as well?
It can be. And the interesting thing is that can work both ways. So they could definitely see a friend kind of being more picky and they could think, well, I could refuse things too. On the flip side, if they see friends trying new things or really enjoying something, then that could also encourage them to try that same new thing as well.
I love that so much. And I the good news for parents is that there's ways, there's remedies, there's techniques. Kids, there's ways to help you out to bring it back around. And there's always that old adage too, like a person's tastes change every 7 years. So hopefully we don't have to wait 7 years for your child to enjoy certain vegetables again. But what are some techniques that you would recommend for parents to help them as they deal with picky eaters?
So I think that when we talk about picky eating, there are multiple kind of concerns within picky eating, one of which definitely is we want to make sure that our kids are eating all of their nutrients, getting all of their food groups. That is definitely important. The other thing that they are developing at this age is their relationship to food. And like everything else in life, they learn from the adults that they're around. So the way that we approach food, the way that we talk to them about food is how they will grow to think of food as well. So my number one tip for parents who have a picky eater at home is to, at all costs, avoid fights at mealtimes. At the end of the day, we cannot force our kids to eat anything. I don't know if you've ever gotten into a power struggle with your kiddo, but no one leaves situations like that happy. So if we turn mealtime into a fight or into a tense situation, that could make them even more resistant to try new things or to eat at all. Because they see that experience as tense. They're going to be forced to do something that they don't want to do. I always recommend removing that pressure whenever we can. One way that I really like doing this is if you are introducing a new food, put that food on their plate alongside things that they know. I recommend, you know, doing one new food at a time, and maybe it's one new food for a whole week. Maybe you want to introduce green beans that week. What you could do is put those green beans aside pizza rolls, chicken nuggets, whatever they know, whatever is safe for them, and repeatedly expose them to that new food without attaching the pressure to try it. Actually, like, chewing and eating something new can be really scary. So letting them explore that food in different ways, whether that's touching it, squeezing it, smelling it, licking it, all of those different things can kind of warm them up to a new food without going right from, you've never seen this before, eat it. That can be a really big leap for some kids.
I love that so much. I know this conversation might typically gravitate towards vegetables because vegetables are always a scary thing. I think about my kiddo who he's iffy on vegetables, but he's always down to try fruit. Mm-hmm. And fruit's always a good safe place, but we always try to find exotic fruits from the grocery store, and we'll record him like talking about what do you think it's going to taste like and try to get their opinions and whatnot. So these are good things to know. With vegetables sometimes too, it's even thinking about how you prepare them. As some kids might prefer them steamed, some mm-hmm. might prefer raw, you know, some and I'm sure that's another part of it as well.
Absolutely, especially with vegetables, they have a very different taste with how they're prepared. And especially with those texture issues, maybe cooked carrots is a no-go for them, but raw carrots have a very different texture. And you also highlighted something really interesting too, which is getting kids involved in the shopping process. Maybe if they see something at the grocery store that they've never seen before, that could spark some interest to try something. So kind of letting that come from them and not from us can also be very successful.
It's such a fascinating thing I think about too, as a parent, because we work so hard to build trust with our children. And for a lot of parents, I mean, your kid trusts you. So for them, you know, I'm sure as a parent, it's frustrating to say, hey, like, I feed you, I take care of you, like, trust me, you're probably going to like this. And they go, no, I don't want it. Mm-hmm. And that's got to be really hard on parents as well. And parents have to remind themselves, it's not something they're doing wrong. It's just a kid is exploring that freedom. That's part of autonomy. That's part mm-hmm. of a bigger part of your kid growing up as well.
Absolutely. And I think that you bring up a really interesting point about how it is very, very frustrating when we know if you try it, then you're going to like it, but we can't make them try it. Where that also comes into play is when you visit other people's houses, when you go out to a restaurant, any situation like that, you could put a piece of pizza in front of them. They could have had pizza every day for the last week, but that pizza is different. It could be the same toppings. It could be the same everything. But you're in a different place, you're around different people, it's a different food. And sometimes that's enough for them to be very resistant to trying new things, especially as we kind of approach the holiday season and there's lots of family gatherings and a lot of opportunities where you're eating in groups that you may not do very often. That can get very frustrating when, you know, you or a family member has prepared this really great meal and your kiddo only wants to eat rolls and cheese cubes. A lot of times that could happen because those are consistent things that they know how they're going to taste. They taste the same everywhere. So they're safe. It's not new things. When it comes to situations like that, I like to recommend bringing prepackaged snacks that they really do taste the same no matter where you are. And if the packaging is something that your kiddo can recognize, again, that is a safe thing that maybe in an unfamiliar environment, they'd feel more comfortable with that familiar thing rather than something new.
Very good. Yeah, I agree with that completely. That's a really great way of looking at it. One thing I think about too, even beyond vegetables, I think about my own child who loves spaghetti, but he has to have the noodles separate from the sauce. And sometimes if you with casseroles, it's a little more complicated, but if there's foods you have where things you can kind of separate out and let the kid try each little part of it. And then, because I know some kids just have an aversion to eating things that are all together. Do you know the science behind that at all?
I have not come across that a ton in my professional work. I think that consulting a kiddo's physician is a great step to figuring out if there are bigger kind of underlying issues there. That's one thing that I love about the age group that we work with is that we are able to help these families with kiddos that are very young so that as these things kind of emerge, they have us as a sounding board, but then we can also encourage them to explore other supportive options to get those kiddos the support that they need, whether it's food, whether it's developmental support or whatever it is, early, because the earlier that we can get those supports in place, the more effective they can be.
I love that as well. Another thing I think about too is just how, like you said, taking the pressure off of a child when they eat. For those who don't know, Melissa and Doug, or even Fred and Friends, the whimsical companies, they make these plates where the compartments, how kids have compartmentalized foods. They have like a board game set up where you can put food in each little spot so the child can actually treat it as a game. Mm-hmm. Where they move piece to piece to piece to the end. What's your opinion? What's the consensus on incentivizing kids to try new foods with a treat at the end of the meal? What do you think about those kinds of things?
I think it can be done very well. I think that with food in general, I am very in favor of removing the value from food. Different foods make us feel different ways, and we need different food depending on what we're going to be doing during our day. So I do like the idea of like kind of like a reward for trying something new. And I think that how we like the language that we use surrounding what is a treat, we should just kind of be aware of that. We don't want to treat foods as better or worse than each other. An example that I've used before is that, like, I love Taco Bell, and there are times that I am just craving Taco Bell. Like, that's all I want. And if I ate Taco Bell every single day, I would feel horrible. So the way that I see it is it's not that Taco Bell in and of itself is a bad food or I should be avoiding it, but it's finding that balance between what does my body need right now? Sometimes it does need Taco Bell, but sometimes it needs like a salad or a pasta or things like that.
And I think that's part of it too. It's helping your kid to understand the value and to give them a sense of control. It goes back to they want control. So this is how you give them control, help them understand that when their body needs a certain thing, that they go for that.
Yeah.
I think another good thing to do as well, and we've talked about this in the past, is having your kids help with the process of making the meal, whether that is shopping and picking out the foods or helping them, you know, prepare, wash the vegetables or cook things like that as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Kids can get a lot more interested in trying something if they had a hand in making it, especially if they're able to see, like, you know, this zucchini started out looking this way, and then after it's cooked, it looks this way. That could also help them kind of warm up to those things if they see what it looked like before, what it looks like now. And again, just helping them explore those new things and giving them that time to get comfortable with them on their own time.
Well, This was great, Lindsay. Thank you so much for being here on the podcast today to talk about this. And as we approach the holiday season, this is good stuff to keep in mind, especially for my own personal life. And thank you all for tuning in today, and have a great day.